on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Health Minister Stephen Donnelly says he's about reopening the economy through May. The Cabinet has met to sign off on the latest plans ahead of Taoiseach Micheál Martin's address to the nation in just over an hour's time. The long-awaited extension at St Junan's College in Letterkenny is a step closer after the Department of Education cleared the school to progress to Stage 2B detailed design. A former Taoiseach questions whether it's in the DUP's interests to win back the more conservative unionist vote in Northern Ireland, and a new place brand will officially launch for Donegal tomorrow. We'll hear from a senior Donegal County Council official about its importance. And later in the bulletin, we'll have sport with Oisín. That's coming up at 5:15 or thereabouts. And as it's a Thursday, we'll also have farming news and views today with Chris Ashmore. But we begin with Health Minister Stephen Donnelly, who says he's still nervous about reopening the economy through May as the Cabinet met today to sign off on the latest plans. Taoiseach Micheál Martin will address the nation in just over an hour's time. Ministers met this afternoon to put the finishing touches to the plan. It's been widely leaked. It's understood the plan has now been approved without changes. It paves the way for inter-county travel returning on May 10th, along with greater freedom to meet people socially. Hairdressers and barbers will also return, with the retail sector reopening fully on May 17th. Hotels will return on June 2nd, with pubs and restaurants opening for outdoor dining from the 7th of June. On his way into the Cabinet in the past few minutes, the Health Minister Stephen Donnelly, as he left, said summer plans are contingent on a successful May.
The measures being recommended for June are contingent upon things remaining stable in May. I'm going to remain nervous through May. That's part of my job, I think. But like, the case numbers are still high. We're still up 300, 400 cases a day.
Well, earlier today, Tánaiste Éilí of Radcar told the Dáil that decisions won't be taken on international travel today, but he said it will need to be examined soon.
And I think we may be able to allow international travel among countries where the population is substantially vaccinated. But we're not there yet. Really, only Israel is in that position at the moment. And they are reopening their country to tourism on the 26th of May. But it's many months before we'll be at that point.
Meanwhile, the European Parliament has approved plans for a so-called COVID passport to allow people travel within the EU. It would show whether someone's been vaccinated, tested negative, or recently recovered from the virus, and allow people travel within the EU. Fine Gael MEP Colm Markey is optimistic it means foreign trips can take place soon.
People are reasonably optimistic that by the end of June, the digital green certificate will be in place. It's then up to each government to determine how they're going to use it. But all going well, you'd be hopeful that it would lead to some level of lifting of restrictions at that stage.
Well, the treasurer of the Donegal branch of the Vintners Federation of Ireland is welcoming the date of June 7th for the reopening of outdoor hospitality. Councillor Martin Harley says clear guidance is a must.
It's definitely welcome news after such a long time. We had our national AGM of the Vintners on Tuesday morning there, and that was high of the discussion was when would we be reopening. And I suppose the one thing that I'd welcome from this news is that all places will be allowed to open at the same time. And the fact as well that I think they've abolished this 9 euro meal. So I think that's welcome news, and it'll be welcome news for all the members that can maybe get up and running again and try and get back to working and get back to paying their bills and mortgages again, which is a big thing that
and
the industry.
Well, the HSE says it's in a much stronger position as the government is set to announce the easing of restrictions in just under an hour's time. Lower transmission levels and the success of the vaccination programme are having a positive impact on the health system, according to the HSE. They say they're on track to administer between 160 and 180,000 doses of vaccine this week, with 220 to 240,000 next week. HSE CEO Paul Reid is urging people not to forget the risks and danger that the virus poses.
And our urge again today to people, whatever decisions are announced tonight, it's really important people take the virus seriously, people take the protections at a regular level to protect themselves and protect their family. We all know how quickly this can turn and impact massively on the health system in a very short space and time.
95 more COVID-19 cases were confirmed north of the border today, with no additional COVID deaths reported there. Well, the impact of lockdown on the development of a child's language skills is in the spotlight. It's after a survey in the UK showed 3/4 of new school children in England needed more support with communication skills than previously. Project leader with Barnardo's in Dublin, Esther Pugh, says it's an issue in Ireland as well, with children missing out on key development opportunities.
You know, walking down the street with mum and dad to go to the local shop, getting on the bus to go into town, seeing their friends, playing with their friends, even playing with their next door neighbours. And I think the loss of education for such a long time is bigger than the loss of academic learning. It's around the loss of the social connections where children get to practice language and also hear language used.
The long-awaited extension at St Eunan's College in Letterkenny is a step closer after the Department of Education cleared the school to progress to Stage 2B detailed design. This includes applications for planning permission and certificates, as well as the preparation of tender documentation. Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue says it's good news for Letterkenny and is testament to the hard work of the school staff, committee, parents and students. Former Education Minister Joe McHugh is also welcoming the announcement. He says a lot of work has been done in recent years to get the project to this stage. A former Taoiseach has questioned whether it's in the DUP's interests to win back the more conservative unionist vote in the north. The DUP is looking for a new leader following Arlene Foster's resignation, with suggestions that a hardline unionist could be preferred. The North's Agriculture Minister, Edwin Poots, is one of the more favoured candidates to take up the role and become First Minister. Well, Bertie Ahern says if they go down the route of appealing to a hardline base, the DUP could lose some of its votes.
Whether it's in their interest, short term or long term, to win back what they see as that very hard, conservative, unionist, religious support, and risk losing a lot of the support that Peter Robinson pulled in, support that was more professional, that was more business-wise, and younger. Time will tell.
Well, the Alliance Party could benefit from Arlene Foster's resignation, according to one of Northern Ireland's leading political commentators. Unionists face a challenge to stabilise their base following the Brexit trade deal and discontent over the Northern Ireland Protocol. Well, Newton Emerson says he believes the Alliance Party could be the one who gain.
We've already moved into a situation in Northern Ireland of having 3 minorities, but we will now have a substantial centre ground based around the Alliance Party, which completely upends how the Good Friday Agreement works, because we're not 2 communities now, we're 3.
The Garda Commissioner says there's a possibility that survivors of mother and baby homes could get some justice in the courts system. Garda are appealing to survivors who were the victims of a crime during their stay to come forward. With more, here's Casey O'Riordan.
A team of Gardaí has examined the mother and baby home report and determined there's not enough detail to commence a criminal investigation. Gardaí are now appealing to anyone who wishes to report a crime relating to a pregnancy and or abuse involving their stay at a mother and baby home to contact them. Garda Commissioner Drew Harris says while suspects may have died and records may be lost, victims should still make a complaint.
Even though the criminal law has changed over the 98 years that this report covers, there may well be yet matters which we can subject to, in effect, a crime investigation towards a criminal justice outcome.
Assistant Commissioner John O'Driscoll says people have already started to come forward.
We have established a dedicated email address to which we have already received some information and requests from people for us to interact with them. And that is motherandbabyhome@garda.ie.
And Gorda Síochána says it will deal with any matters reported by complainants in a sensitive manner.
A new place brand will be officially launched for Donegal tomorrow. It'll see the county positioned as a great place in which to live, work, invest, explore and study. The online event includes the unveiling of the new Donegal Place brand identity, with a number of brand ambassadors on board, and the launch of a revamped Donegal.ie website. Gary Martin is head of economic development with Donegal County Council. He says this initiative is about bringing the county's brand into the 21st century.
One of the key offerings is, I suppose, the strong message about Donegal as a location to invest in, and what that actually means in practical terms. We have the capability and the infrastructure to do that. I think it's really a question of getting that message out there, and indeed some of the brand ambassadors that we have for this and indeed other initiatives that we're involved in tell that story very, very well, because they are living it every day of the week, you know, as they operate from some of the more rural areas of our county. So it is all of that as well, but it's also a question, I suppose, of strengthening and modernising that brand as well, and at the launch on Friday people will see exactly what we mean by that. It's about bringing it very much into the 21st century and reflecting, I suppose, that modern, agile message that we all want to get out there. And really, to, you know, to build a platform for economic growth and for tourism growth, and as a great place to live as well in this county that we all love so much.
The Beltane Festival will be celebrated from home next month, with Donegal's programme of events kicking off with a specially recorded launch event in Letterkenny's Regional Cultural Centre on Saturday night. Independence and interdependence will be the key theme of this year's Beltane at Home. It's the 24th year the festival has been celebrated in County Donegal, with more details on our website, highlandradio.com. There are calls for minimum unit alcohol pricing to be rolled out on an all-island basis. Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin says at the time of the passing of the legislation to introduce minimum unit alcohol pricing, it was understood it would be rolled out in both jurisdictions, but that's emerged not to be the case. He's urging governments north and south to collaborate.
When this legislation was passed in 2018, it was understood clearly that it would be rolled out on an all-island basis. And obviously, if you look at Donegal, you know, if you had a situation where this was rolled out in Donegal and not in Derry and Westrone and Fermanagh, that would be a very serious disadvantage to businesses in Donegal, but also it would undermine the intent of the legislation, which is to, you know, particularly avoid with young people and vulnerable people drinking, you know, too much alcohol and damaging their health.
And indeed, this is something that needs to be done in collaboration between governments on both sides of the border.
Indeed, and our concern, if you look through the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, we have felt that the two ministers for health on the islands, Stephen Donnelly and Robin Swan, there wasn't the level of cooperation that we would expect. And indeed, the level of cooperation is unacceptable. And with Simon Harris before Stephen Donnelly. Now, we're talking here now 3 years since this legislation was passed, and it was supposed to be an all-island basis. And we want to know what level of dialogue, consultation, discussions has taken place, and why are we now talking about only introducing this, you know, in the 26 counties and particularly in the border areas. That's going to be a real problem.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.
5:15, and we say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with badminton, and Sam and Chloe McGee are safely into the quarterfinals of the European Badminton Championships in the Ukraine. The faux pair defeated Scotland's Christopher Grimley and Elaine O'Donnell this morning in straight sets, 21-16, 21-15 to reach the last eight. If the McGees are to repeat their bronze medal success from 2017, they'll need to overcome Marcus Ellis and Lauren Smith in the next round. The English pairing are the top seeds in the competition. And there's more news on a return for senior sport. It's expected today when the Cabinet have met to discuss the latest easing of restrictions. It's understood team sport will be given the go-ahead to resume on the 10th of May, while the 7th of June is the likely date that competitive matches can start without crowds in attendance. There will be welcome news by clubs in Donegal across the GAA and senior soccer sectors in particular, who have not been allowed to train or play since Christmas. It follows the reopening in the Republic of golf, tennis and underage training this week, while from the 7th of May, clubs in the six counties can get back playing matches, having been back training since April the 12th. Moving on to soccer, and Arsenal can take on Villarreal in the first leg of the Europa League semi-final tonight amid ongoing talk of a possible takeover. Swedish billionaire Daniel Ek has expressed interest in making a bid following protests from fans against the ownership of Stan Kroenke. Boss Mikel Arteta hopes his team's efforts on the pitch can heal divisions between the hierarchy and supporters.
The only thing we can do to help that situation is win football matches and win trophies. That always helps in football to bring stability, excitement. And then each party has to do a little bit to try to reunite everybody, because at the end it's in the benefit of the football club.
Meanwhile, Manchester United, they host Italian side Roma in the first leg of their semi-final. Anthony Martial is unavailable. United are hoping to reach a major showpiece for the first time under boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. 8:00 is the kick-off time for both games. And up to 10,000 fans could be allowed to attend next month's Europa League final in Gdansk. The news comes after the easing of some COVID-19 restrictions in Poland. The decider will be played on the 26th of May. And five senior executives involved in plans from the failed European Super League have resigned from their roles within the Premier League. Chelsea chairman Bruce Buck, his Liverpool counterpart Tom Werner and Manchester United's Ed Woodward are among those to step down. Officials from the 14 top flight clubs which didn't sign up to the breakaway proposals had called for them to be removed from their positions. And European football's governing body will join the boycott of social media in England and Scotland this weekend. UEFA President Alexander Kafferkin says everyone in the game has had enough of people he's called cowards who post racial and discriminatory abuse online. In Gaelic Games, Shane Lowry has become a partner to Offaly GAA for the next 5 years. The reigning Open champion will sponsor his native county as well as supporting their commercial and fundraising activities. Those fundraisers are set to help provide funding for underage coaching and education bursaries for players. Offaly chairman Michael Degnan says Lowry is an inspiration and that they're excited about the prospect of working alongside him. Meanwhile, Lowry has also confirmed that his caddy, Bo Martin, will be back in his bag for the upcoming Memorial Tournament. Martin, who caddied for the Offaly man in his Open, won his return to Northern Ireland in recent weeks to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. His coach, Neil Manchip, will also travel to America ahead of next month's PGA Championship. On the PGA Tour this week, it's the Valspar Championship in Florida. Emiliano Grillo is the early leader in 5 under par through 17 holes. Graham McDowell gets his round underway at about 5:40 Irish time. And on the European Tour this week, it's the Tenerife Open. Torbjørn Olesen shot a 62 today to sit on 9 under par. He's one ahead of Alexander Bjork, Garrick Higo and John Catlin. They're all on 8 under par. Jonathan Caldwell's the best of the Irish. He's 4 under through 12 holes. And in rugby, Ulster head coach Dan McFarlane has made 5 changes to his team for tomorrow's European Challenge Cup semi-final, their trip to Leicester. Eric O'Sullivan, Matty Moore, Alan O'Connor and Jordy Murphy come into the pack, while Stuart McCluskey starts in midfield. Ian Henderson, he'll captain the province from the second row. And snooker former champions Mark Selby and Stuart Bingham are deadlocked at 4 frames all in their World Snooker Championship semi-final. It's the first of 17 to advance to the decider. The other last 4 clash starts at 7 o'clock. Kieran Wilson plays Sean Murphy. In horse racing, Cheltenham hero Florian Porter will aim to become a double by landing the Grade 1 Ladbrokes Champion Stairs Hurdle at Punchestown. Gets underway very shortly, 5:25. Noel Mead's Beacon Age and the storyteller trained by Denise Foster will provide the main opposition to Gavin Cromwell's charge. Just finally this evening to remind you that the Score programme gets underway after the 7 o'clock news. And this week's programme, the League of Ireland chat, will be joined by former Finn Harps player and manager Anthony Gorman to look at a double weekend of games in the Premier Division. Plus, he'll tell us why he's decided to go back to senior management. He's assistant manager with Dungannon in the Irish League. There's also Finn Harps boss Ollie Horgan, Derry City manager Rory Higgins. While underage athletics was one of the sports that was allowed to resume this week, regional development officer Dermot McGranahan is also on the programme talking about the return to the track countywide. That's after the 7 o'clock news this evening. It's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Well, it's Highland Radio. It's just gone 20 past 5. It's time for Farming News and Views. And we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear from Donal Tierney, the Chief Executive of Arrivo Co-op, about its latest annual financial results. The co-op, which employs more than 200 people in Donegal, has a major liquid milk plant in Killigordon, and among its brands are Donegal Creameries and Connacht Gold, as well as the Homeland stores. Its roots go back to the 19th century when co-ops were formed, but nowadays, while still being true to its local roots, it's a business that exports to more than 50 countries. First, though, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell-Logue has this week announced the opening of a public consultation on the primary legislation needed to establish a new office of a National Food Ombudsman or regulator. He said he wants the Food Ombudsman to bring a greater level of transparency to all parts of the supply chain. Meanwhile, Donegal farmers are being reminded that the closing date for the organic farming scheme is midnight tomorrow. Well, Arrivo Co-op recently announced its annual results for 2020, which showed record turnover and an increase in profits. I've been speaking with its chief executive, Donal Tierney, and I began by putting it to him that 2020 was a uniquely challenging year.
Yes, Chris, thanks, and thanks for having me on. Yes, 2020 was a very difficult year. You know, the COVID restrictions played havoc with the industry in the early months. We went from a situation where our markets were closed for a period of 6 to 8 weeks in April, May and into June. And then they went online fully where there was no buyers or sellers around the ring. So a lot of changes, a lot of adaption and changes had to be rapidly made. And then obviously in our retail stores, we had to, as an essential service and supplying essential services to the farming community, we had to, you know, change all of the work practices in our stores to ensure and protect our staff. So all of that had to be done very quickly. And in the milk markets, we immediately saw a collapse in the food service markets, which we thought was going to be very difficult for dairy markets in 2020. I suppose in the end, the retail markets the more than made up for the shortfall in the food service markets decline. The food service markets just shut down overnight. But thankfully, the retail markets picked up overnight and the demand in retail was very strong. So it was a very difficult year. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. It was a record year from the point of view of turnover, 489 million turnover. That's up 9.4% on the previous year. Our group operating profit was 8.5 million, which is up 170% from the previous year. And that might sound like a huge improvement at 8.5 million, but it's still a modest profit. I mean, as a co-op, we pass the benefit of our process and our sales back to the primary producer farmer where at all possible. So the remaining profit that we retain is 1.75% of our turnover. So I think you'd agree it's a modest profit, even though it is up substantially on the previous year, which was up 170% on the previous year. But it's still quite modest.
Now, just remind our listeners about the background and the history of the company, because like in many other sectors, there has been an amalgamation of smaller businesses over a period of time. And this would apply Arrivo, now one of the country's leading cooperatives. And you have absorbed a number of businesses from throughout Connacht and here in Donegal.
Arrivo was previously called Connacht Gold, and prior to that, NCF. Arrivo has come about through various mergers over the years, long before my time, Chris, of various co-ops. In 2012, what was Connacht Gold at the time, purchased the liquid milk and retail store business of Donegal Creameries PLC. So we acquired the site in Killigordon and a number of retail stores in Donegal as well at that time. So we purchased that business from Donegal Creameries PLC, a company that's now called Donegal Investment Group. So that happened in 2012. 2015, we acquired a business in the UK called in the sports nutritional space called My Goodness Limited, that primarily trades in the UK. The product is also sold in Ireland, but 95% of the sales are in the UK.
And overall, you employ something in excess of 600 people. And here in Donegal, a lot of people will be familiar with your liquid milk plant in Killigordon. And I was reading there, it processed something in the region of 110 million litres in 2020. That is a lot of milk.
Yeah, 110 million litres of liquid milk sold in the retail channel mainly. So we'd be a sizable player. We'd be the number two player in the Republic of Ireland next to Glanbia, the Avonmore brand.
Yeah, and you have invested quite a lot in the Killigordon plant in recent years.
We did. We invested €6 million just last year in new technology to enable us to process the milk in a much more energy efficient way. That's achieved significant reductions in CO2 emissions on the back of that. You mentioned employees, 650 employees actually across the whole group. I think 200 of whom are in Donegal between the liquid milk plant in Killigordon, and we also have 6 retail stores in Donegal. In fact, we opened or we moved our store in Letterkenny during 2020 to a new store outlet in across the road.
And this is the Homeland brand?
The Homeland brand, yeah. So we have six stores branded Homeland in the Donegal. We have 34 in total across the northwest region.
And tell us a little bit about the dairy ingredients side of the business. This has become very important.
Yeah, the dairy ingredient business is an export business. So we're primarily producing milk powders and butter for export. So we export to over 50 countries. That facility had a recent investment of $25 million finished in 2019. First year of production was really 2020. So we invested $25 million in a new spray dryer in Ballandrine. You know, dairying consumes a lot of capital. And in fact, you know, the profitability that we retain each year, the vast majority of the profits are reinvested back in the business. For example, we have, you know, we made $8.5 million operating profit in 2020. Our investment plans for 2021 are $10 million. So we have a further $10 million capital investment to make in 2021. Over the last 3 years, we've invested $38 million in capital. And that would include the $6 million spend in Donegal.
You have this new milk stability fund. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, we created a milk stability fund. I mean, 2020 was a better year in dairying than we had initially envisaged, especially when COVID hit. We thought it would have been a difficult market for dairy prices. It turned out to be a reasonable year for dairy prices. So we paid a reasonable price. We paid a good price, in fact, in 2020, certainly compared to other processors. We paid a price of 35.61 on average in 2020, which was up from the previous year price of 34.35. So we were able to pay that price, but also able to set aside a provision of €3 million to help market volatility in the future years. It doesn't look like it's going to be this year because the prices are actually quite good this year too. So that provision will be used in a year where dairy markets take a downturn and we'll be able to support the milk price.
One of the areas that was most impacted by COVID-19 was the sports nutrition side of things. And you have a very successful business there, My Goodness Limited, which is it's the milkshakes, essentially, for goodness shakes. This is an area that has seen considerable growth and no doubt there is considerable potential still there in the future.
There is. I mean, with the number one player in the UK market in the ready-to-drink protein shakes. But that business is a food-to-go business. So like all food-to-go businesses all over the world, in fact, they suffered significant decline in 2020 on the back of the restrictions and the work-from-home policies. I mean, the big cities in the UK, no more than the big cities in Ireland, were empty for most of 2020. So we didn't have the consumers or the footfall into the retail stores picking up the protein shake at lunchtime, and the gyms were closed throughout most of 2020 as well in the UK. And thankfully this year, I mean, the UK has kind of opened up since the 12th of April this year, and we're seeing a return of that demand that was lost in 2020.
And finally, things hopefully will be opening up here fairly soon. What are your priorities for the rest of this year?
Our main priority at the moment is to keep our operations continuing to process. The peak processing months for milk are May and June, and there isn't, you know, we have enough capacity in our plants to process all the milk that we get. But God forbid if we were to have a shutdown due to COVID, you know, we wouldn't be able to process the milk. There's very little capacity in the country to process any additional milk. So we need to keep our facilities processing throughout the peak months. So that's our number one priority at the moment, you know, along with protecting our staff.
And that was Donal Tierney, the Chief Executive of Arrivo. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Well, the forecasts: showers will become more isolated and gradually die away early tonight, leaving the rest of the night mainly dry with a mix of clear spells and variable cloud. A slight chance of some light showers overnight. It'll stay cold with lowest temperatures -1 to +3 degrees Celsius. A slight frost in some places with a few pockets of mist forming in near calm conditions. Winds light northeasterly or variable in direction. Tomorrow we'll see some good spells of sunshine with a few well-scattered showers. Highest afternoon temperatures 9 to 11 degrees Celsius in light to moderate northeast or variable breezes. the main stories this evening. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly says he's nervous about reopening the economy through May. The Cabinet has signed off on the latest plans ahead of Taoiseach Micheál Martin's address to the nation in around about half an hour's time. Ministers put the finishing touches to the plan this afternoon. It's understood it was approved without changes. The Treasurer of the Donegal branch of the Vintners Federation is welcoming indications that June 7th will be the date for the reopening of outdoor hospitality, but Martin Harley says clear guidelines must be provided immediately. The HSE CEO is urging people not to forget the risks and dangers that the virus poses, but Paul Reid says the HSE is in a much stronger position. And in other news, the long-awaited extension to St Julian's College in Letterkenny is a step closer. It's been cleared to move forward to stage 2B of detailed design by the department. Back with news at 6. Good evening. The eviction notices for this Thursday evening, the 29th of April. The death has occurred of Maurice O'Donnell, Big Maurice, Ballina Bray, Falcara. His remains will arrive in Christ the King Church, Gortha-Hawk, this evening at 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in Gortha-Hawk, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and the government restrictions, the wake, funeral and interment are limited to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 25 people permitted. The death has taken place in Bolton, Greater Manchester, of Patrick Gallagher, formerly of Clagan Carrigart. The funeral will take place on Friday, May 7th in St Ethelbert's Church, Bolton, followed by burial in Heaton Cemetery. And the death has taken place of Frank McBride, 24, Whitethorn Grove, Letterkenny, formerly of Doe Point, Creasla. Funeral Mass in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, tomorrow morning at 11, followed by burial in Doe Cemetery, Creasla. Mass can be viewed live on the Church of the Irish Martyrs Facebook page. Due to HSC and government guidelines, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 25 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or James Harkin, Funeral Director.